Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. On Monday, Germany's Chancellor Angela Merkel reversed her support of nuclear power and is vowing to completely wean the country off nuclear energy by the year 2022. Germany's anti-nuclear Green Party has gained in popularity, and public opinion shifted dramatically against nuclear power following the Fukushima disaster in Japan. Nuclear power, however, provides about a quarter of Germany's electricity, so this is a big deal and would be a big, big shift if they actually pull it off. So if not nuclear, then what? Natural gas, coal, solar, wind, thermal? Is this decision by Germany a good thing for alternative energy and climate change goals or not? To explain the short-term and long-term ripple effects of this decision in the global energy markets is Michael Levi. He is the Senior Fellow for Energy and Environment at the Council on Foreign Relations. Michael, welcome back to WNYC.
Good to be with you.
The new plan calls for phasing out all of Germany's 17 nuclear reactors, if I've got these numbers right, by 2022, and expanding the use of renewable resources. Just last year, Chancellor Merkel supported an unpopular plan to extend the life of nuclear power plants until 2036. So this is really a very dramatic and sudden reversal, isn't it?
The reversal has been in the works for the last few months, but this is a big move. The chancellor, after the Fukushima accident, came out quickly with a review of the country's nuclear power. She was already feeling the heat from the Green Party. And the result of this, in part because I think of the review, but in part because what she did was not enough to stem the tide of the Green Party in recent elections, has led now to this plan for a full phase out by 2022 of German nuclear power generation.
So is this a purely political decision? She's up for re-election, and you're describing a vast shift in public opinion after Fukushima.
It's primarily a political decision. I don't know that I would call it a shift after Fukushima. I think Fukushima provided her with an opportunity to react to a different political landscape. The Green Party was already gaining on her. She was already uncomfortable before Fukushima happened. This provided a way to respond that didn't look craven, at least as far as her political calculations went, but it didn't really pay off all that much in the elections that that ensued. She's apparently decided to double down, and we'll see whether that has much of an effect on her prospects. Germany is an unusual place when it comes to environmental politics because of its proportional representation system and because of the great strength of the Green Party within that system. The Green Party has often been a political kingmaker there in a way that Green parties elsewhere are rarely able to be.
So that's why there and almost nowhere else, I gather, Switzerland also decided this month to abandon nuclear power. But looking around Europe, France, Poland, the Netherlands, Britain have no plan to follow suit. In fact, building new nuclear reactors is widely supported to reach greenhouse gas emissions targets in some of those countries. What about in the United States? How do you think the German strategy will affect the nuclear power industry here? And how would you compare the politics?
The politics are quite different in the United States. Clearly, environmental parties and parties with strong environmental angles don't have the same kind of strength. The United States is sort of a status quo country when it comes to nuclear power. There isn't a big lean into nuclear power, but there doesn't seem to be a great flight away from it right now. The United States seems to be sort of taking the Fukushima accident as a technical lesson rather than as a big macro lesson in how it should develop its energy policy. Obviously, it's too early to really make a judgment on exactly what the impact will be. But I think that the dynamics in places like Europe are probably a lot stronger, where countries are willing to take big moves on energy policy. You have an ongoing, very live debate in the UK over nuclear power. France is much more constrained, frankly, because it has so much nuclear power that it's very difficult for it to try and do anything else. But in the United States, people are looking mostly at the specific lessons, again, at what to do about spent fuel pools, the specific vulnerabilities that have been revealed by the accident in Japan, rather than a sort of grand lesson about nuclear power.
So with the power of the Greens in Germany, are they at all conflicted about the trade-off involved here? Because in a way, Germany is trading their carbon emission targets for allaying safety concerns regarding nuclear accidents, right? They won't be able to reach the EU carbon goals without nuclear, will they?
They'll be able to reach the EU carbon goals, but it'll be very tricky and it'll require certain maneuvers. So first, there are two things to keep in mind here. First, the European carbon goals are fluid. Europe has a goal of cutting its emissions by 20% from 1990 levels by 2020. It's been debating moving that goalpost to 30%. So one impact that this might have is while it doesn't interfere with the ability to meet the 20% goal, it may make the 30% goal a lot less appetizing. So the goalpost will never be moved to that more stringent objective. The other thing that Germany has as a way of keeping down its emissions is to import nuclear electricity from France. And it will be doing a lot of that. So when people say Germany will no longer use nuclear power, that's not really true. It won't generate nuclear power, but it will certainly use nuclear power. That power will just be generated in another country.
Really? So how big a loophole is that? I mean, if Germany gets a quarter of its electricity from nuclear today, what percentage of their power would they get from nuclear in 2022 after they shut down all their plants if they're still importing it?
It's impossible to know the exact number, but it could be a substantial amount. And the fact that Germany can import power also makes its renewable goals, even though they're a stretch, something that's at least remotely plausible. When we talk about boosting renewables to a high percentage, and Germany's now talking about 35% renewables. One of the main criticisms is, well, the sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow. You can't count on these. You need substitutes. And partly that can be filled in with natural gas. But partly what Germany can get away with doing is filling that in with imports from other countries. Now, not every country can get away with that. You couldn't have every country in Europe deciding that it was going to boost renewables to a huge level and then rely on imports from everywhere else. So Germany, to some degree, is able to get away with this by relying on the fact that other countries aren't doing it.
We're talking with Michael Levy from the Council on Foreign Relations, Senior Fellow for Energy and the Environment, about Germany's blockbuster announcement on Monday that they are going to shut down all the nuclear power plants by 2022 as a reaction to what happened in Japan. And as you've heard, the political analysis, really a response to the rise in power of the Green Party recently and public reaction to Japan in Germany. 212-433-WNYC. If you have a question or a thought about this, 212-433-9692, or post a comment or a question to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Let's talk about renewables. I wonder if this could have a significant global driver effect on the development of renewable energy technologies in a scalable way. In other words, big enough to be affordable, you know, in a widespread way like oil and nuclear now. You said they want renewable sources to provide 35% of electricity by 2020, up from 13% today. Does that mean that Germany will now spend the many billions of dollars to bolster solar and wind power or research, or that you think corporate research might even get beefed up now because all of a sudden there's going to be this major new opportunity in a major industrialized nation?
We'll have to see how they implement their renewable objectives. Depending on the reliability, depending on exactly how you pay people for it, it creates different incentives for either deploying existing technology or for moving new technology out there. There's no question that expanding markets helps create economies of scale, helps create incentives for innovation. But the reality is that we have been growing these renewable markets for a long time. And while that's incentivized some innovation, you also need a direct push from governments to make that happen. So we'll see exactly how it works out. We'll see whether Germany makes moves to make sure some of that is supplied from domestic providers and creates incentives for innovation, or whether it relies on imports of technology. One of the controversial elements of Germany's past renewable policy has been that its big push for solar has been done on the back of imports from China, for example. So it's very difficult to project exactly what this will do. And a lot of it, like I said, comes down to exactly how it's implemented, how dependable is it, and how much scale does it create in particular segments of the market.
Here's a geopolitical question that stems from this. From our comments page, John asks, will this make Germany more dependent on Russian gas. Russia exports a lot of natural gas, right, including to Germany?
Absolutely. Germany and Russia have a tight relationship when it comes to natural gas. One former German chancellor is on the board of Gazprom, or at least was. And this certainly will increase German reliance on Russian gas. Europe has opportunities to produce more gas itself and to import LNG, but there is significant environmental controversy within Europe on developing domestic gas resources. There are open questions about what exactly those resources are and how quickly they can be developed. So everything else being equal, this certainly does tend to drive Germany closer into the orbit of Russia. That's a difficult situation for them to be in. It's part of the reason that there has been such appetite for renewables and to a lesser extent nuclear in Europe, because with the carbon goals and geopolitical concerns about Russia, countries have wanted a third way out. Germany, though, is already the most comfortable, really, of any of the major European countries with importing Russian gas, so it may not be so worried about moving further in that direction.
Frank in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Frank.
Hi. I'd like to talk about the opportunity cost, what we don't get by wasting so much money on nuclear power plants, and all the hidden subsidies. Specifically, in 1957, Congress passed the Price-Anderson Act, which limited nuclear power plant liability, shifted the risk of a nuclear accident to taxpayers, and giving them the limited liability they need to operate with a single-payer, low-cost, government-sponsored insurance program. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission itself says it removed the deterrent to the private sector participation. And without this, without all these hidden government subsidies, which includes a lot of physical things as well, the nuclear power plants couldn't operate. They can't make a living by themselves without government help. And as a fiscal conservative, I consider this a waste of government money that could be spent on things that reduce greenhouse gases thousands of times more.
Frank, thank you. So, Michael Levy, how much do you agree with his take on that? And how different is it in Europe than in the United States?
It's a good question. In general, nuclear power programs don't exist unless there's some sort of government backstop on liability. The problem is that even if a nuclear accident has a remote probability of happening, the consequences are huge, and you basically can't find an insurance company with a big enough balance sheet to insure anything. We tend to think that risk equals probability times consequences. But if the consequences are huge, no responsible company is able to underwrite this sort of risk. The only alternative is for government to step in and do it. And then the question becomes, how much does government charge? And to me, the real debate ought to be not over whether the government plays a role here or not, because that's sort of an inevitable role, but whether it's charging the right amount for that risk guarantee. It's very difficult to know whether it's doing that. The reality is that even with Price Anderson, even with this backstop, nuclear is not competitive right now in the United States with other options, particularly with natural gas, which is extremely cheap right now.
And of course,
this is largely an academic debate at this point. People are not building large numbers of new nuclear plants.
Takes a lot of subsidies to bolster solar and wind, at least for the moment, as well in this country. And you know, Germany is not particularly sunny, for example.
That's right. And people like to joke that the only reason Germany is able to have huge solar subsidies is because it's so dark there. If it was sunny, people would take them up en masse and the government would go broke. In the United States, you look at the different subsidy options, and I think the caller does have a point. If you have limited money available for subsidies, you want to focus it on places where you get the biggest bang for the buck. The reality is, with something like Price Anderson with an insurance guarantee, this is a subsidy in one sense, but it's only a budget subsidy if there's a big accident and you have to pay out. Up to this point, because we haven't had that kind of payout, it's actually a net revenue generator.
So we're almost out of time, as we've been talking about Germany's really blockbuster announcement on Monday that it will stop using nuclear power. We'll see if they follow through. But Chancellor Merkel saying this country that gets 25% of its electricity from nuclear will phase it out by 2022 altogether, following what happened in Japan. Just locally, we talked about hydrofracking in our area last hour with the commissioner of the New Jersey DEP. And obviously we're seeing similar pressure here in this country with respect to nuclear power. Regarding New Jersey, he said, well, we think our nuclear power plants are safe and we're always reinspecting the safety of it, et cetera. Perceived or real safety issues with nuclear power have become more politically dicey to navigate. You were referring to that. There's discussion about Indian Point, just 35 miles north of New York City. How do you think nuclear regulators are reacting to the public's enhanced safety concerns after Japan? And how are utility companies here in the U.S. reacting to all this new uncertainty?
Utility companies already had a reason to be shy of nuclear power because of the cost risks. And this is just adding another layer of uncertainty. The regulators have never been particularly good at gauging public reaction and public concern. They've tended to approach their job in a very technocratic way. But the reality is, as I think you point out, that this is about building public confidence. And so, frankly, in the end, it won't be able to be just the regulator that builds public confidence. We'll have to have a good public process to make sure that people feel confident in the ability of nuclear power plants to operate safely. And we'll also need to have a variety of alternatives. You talked about, we talked to one of the callers about renewables. You talked about natural gas. The reality is that if we have a variety of different options, that allows us to make better decisions on each of those options because we don't feel pressured into any one particular direction.
Michael Levy, Senior Fellow for Energy and the Environment at the Council on Foreign Relations, on Germany's announcement that it will phase out nuclear power altogether. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a proposal, somewhat serious, to replace prison with flogging. And by the way, it's for the sake of the prisoners, not to be tougher on them. Stay with us.